You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Even as I was gone, I texted Jeremy and I said, I'm just feeling this burden to speak into women of fire and women of the Spirit. And so we're going to do a lot of scripture today because, well, the Word of God is Spirit and life. So it makes sense that we would highlight the Word of God. And, you know, I want to lay not just a foundation, but a launching point for us to understand the power of women throughout biblical history and even today. And it makes sense because today we honor mothers. We honor women, we honor spiritual mothers, grandmothers, you know, daughters. Look, I'm here today because of the power of a praying mom. There was, you know, we use this kind of term in sort of charismatic, Christianity, intercessory prayer, and we pray for a hedge of protection. I don't think my mom prayed a hedge of protection around me. I think she prayed like 8 feet, like thick spiritual concrete walls of protection around me. Because I tried to be bad. I tried to run. I tried to do everything that I could do to not do whatever my family was doing. And I could only go so far. And I literally sometimes felt like I was running into a wall. And then God would put his goodness on display. And I simply could not resist his goodness. And it, not only did I have a power of praying mom, I had a grandmother. You know, in my younger years, she was more of a nominal Christian, but in her older years, she really encountered God. And so she would call and she would pray and she would give advice as grandmothers do. And that shaped me, the determination of a mom to bring me into places that I didn't necessarily want to be, which, you know, as a kid, a lot of times I didn't want to go to church. You know, I didn't get a choice. We were Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night people. But because I was in the environment, there were little dots over the period of my life as a child into becoming a young man where I had power encounters with the presence of God because my mom, my parents, my mother, and my father were faithful in exposing us to what God was doing. And so we honor women who prayed us through storms and women who carried families through hardship, women who stood in faith even when everything around them was shaken. And you could feel like you're shaking and still stand in faith. It's possible to do both. But I didn't just come to celebrate women today. I came to prophetically declare that God is raising up women in the Spirit, not only in this house, but in this region and across the church. Now, I know people struggle sometimes and there's all kinds of debates about women and ministry. And look, when you travel the nations, sometimes there's no choice, there's no debate because God's just like, not next man up, but next person up. God will use a willing heart. You know, there was a missionary that came into one of the areas that we support, which is the former Republic of Transkei in South Africa. And he really struggled because there were so many women pastors. But the reality in that region is that when the men turned 18, they left the villages and they would go into the diamond mines and they would discover they could make money and they would discover drugs and they would discover all the other trappings that come outside of the village when you're living in a township or close to a city. And so there were very few men that were left in the villages. And so when we would go into a village and release the gospel, and with 100% effectiveness, we planted churches in every single village that we've ever been into. You work with what you have, and God honors that. God has been raising up women throughout the text of Scripture to speak life, to speak truth, to prophesy, to bring a city into revival. And it's no different today. So I just want to shake off those constraints off of us because I really believe that we are coming into a season, not just in this house, but in the church. Did I say season? I did. But I think it's true that God is raising up women to carry torches all across this land. what is required. It's women who know their identity. It's women who carry fire. It's women who know how to pray. Women who walk with God. Women who discern the voice of the Spirit. And women who are not shaped by culture, but are transformed by the presence of Jesus. And the enemy, look, again, we could just dot this throughout scripture and history. The enemy has always targeted what God intended to anoint. So when Pharaoh wanted to stop a generation, he attacked the children coming through the wombs of women. When Jezebel wanted to corrupt a nation, she attacked worship, identity, and spiritual authority. When Herod heard a king was coming, he attacked children because hell always attacks what heaven is birthing. And I don't even want to put it that way. We traditionally will say that. I forgot to change it because I was kind of writing. I was a little fatigued while I was in Thailand. But you know what? Hell is not fighting anything. Like, hell has no dominion. Like, it's not the source of, you know, all that is evil. It's the ending point. So, you know, the gates of Hades will not prevail, but it's the enemy, it's Satan, it's his minions that are attacking the goodness of God that is unfurled for all time. And one of the primary ways that God has displayed his goodness in creation is through the womb. There's a seed planted in a dark place, and the light and the breath of God breathes on creation, and now we become co-creators with God, and we get to unfurl his goodness through the children that we produce, because children are a gift from God. I know it doesn't always feel that way, but they are. And this is how we leave an inheritance to the children's children. It makes perfect sense that the enemy would try to put a wedge into the unfurling of the goodness of God. And there is no unfurling of the goodness of God throughout history and in creation without women. And today, our culture is still attacking womanhood. It's attacking purity and identity and family and motherhood and God's design. Why? Because the enemy understands that sometimes we don't. Things that we forget, or they just become so commonplace that it doesn't register in our minds or our hearts and our souls. But let me tell you, there is power in a woman surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? And the enemy fears women who know who they are in God. And men of God should never fear a spirit-filled woman or be intimidated or have an issue, because this is the design of the king. A real man of God honors what the Holy Spirit anoints. So let's talk about women of the Spirit today. Number one, women of the Spirit know their identity. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read Luke, verses 26 through 38. I'm going to read out of the ESV today, as is usual. Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What's the big idea? Mary was not chosen because she was influential. She did not have a platform first. Mary was chosen because she was surrendered. A surrendered heart is like a runway for God to move on earth. God does not look for perfection. God looks for surrender. Mary was young. She was overlooked. She was ordinary in the eyes of society. But heaven saw something different. God saw purity. God saw humility. God saw availability. Ooh, that's a good one. And then the angel came to Mary, and her response was not fear-driven resistance. Her response was surrender. Of course, she had some questions to ask. I'm sure. How can this be? She's troubled at the greeting. What kind of greeting is this? I don't know this guy. I don't think she even knew at first that there was an angel. I don't know what the moment was actually like. But even though, look, if an angel showed up to you and said, you know, you're about to get pregnant, and it's not from a dude, it's going to, the Holy Spirit's just going to do this kind of cool thing, and then all of a sudden you're going to have a baby. Like, imagine that, Winnie. It's not too late, Sarah. No, I'm kidding. But Matt, what would your heart response be? I can't imagine. It's hard for me to put myself in those shoes because, you know, I don't know what that's like, really. But you got to understand, like, there was some consternation in her heart. But at the end of it all, she mirrors a prayer that her son wouldn't pray until 33 years in the future. And in essence, she said, "Not my will, but yours be done." See, surrender doesn't require all of the answers in your timeline. Surrender says, yes, Lord, and trusts that he will unveil what you need and what you need to know as you go and as you walk with him. The greatest people God uses are rarely the people trying to build their own platform. They're usually people hidden in prayer and saying what we just said, Lord, let your will be done in me. Mary had to carry something before she could explain it. And the reality is, culturally, you know that people around her misunderstood her. I'm sure they criticized her. They questioned her. But when you carry something from God, not everybody will understand what heaven is doing in your life. Before Jesus was revealed to the world, he was formed inside a woman. And some of you are carrying today promises that nobody else can see yet. I know this to be true. Some of you are carrying healing that nobody else sees yet. Some of you are carrying vision that nobody else understands yet, or purpose that nobody else recognizes yet. But do not abort what God placed inside of you just because people cannot see it yet. Identity is not discovered through culture. Identity is discovered through communion with God. The culture says identity is self-created, but the kingdom says identity is spirit and Father revealed. So number two, women of the spirit refuse to stay bound. I like this one. Let's go to Luke chapter 8 and then put a thumb into John chapter 20. We're going to read three verses from each. Luke 8, we're going to go 1 through 3, and then John 20, we're going to go, I think, 1 through 3 again. Starting in Luke chapter 8, soon afterward, he, Jesus, went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. He is highlighting women here. And from the women and others, they provided out of their means. What does that mean? They funded the advancement of the gospel of the kingdom. Jump forward to John chapter 20. Verse 1, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple and they were going toward the tomb. Mary Magdalene was not introduced to us as someone who is powerful. She was introduced to us as someone who is broken, tormented, bound, and afflicted. But one encounter with Jesus changed everything. The same woman who lived under torment became a devoted follower of Christ. The same woman who knew bondage became a woman trusted with resurrection revelation. You can read the rest of the story. As the men struggled to wrap their brains around the resurrection, it was the women who proclaimed first. And God's been kind of doing that for a long time. And I think he's still doing it today. See, that's the power of Jesus. People and women who knew bondage but became trusted with revelation. The same woman demons once occupied became the first witness of resurrection glory. That is what Jesus does. He takes people the world has written off and fills them with glory. And there are women here today who survived things that we don't even know about. There are stories in this room, women who are sitting next to you right now that have stories that you don't even know. There are women here, and I know you survived betrayal, and you survived abandonment. You survived rejection. You survived abuse. You survived heartbreak and depression and loneliness. And there were seasons and moments within the seasons or storms within the season where you cried and wept silently. Times where you smiled publicly while your heart and soul were bleeding privately. But the fact that you are still standing means that Hades could not destroy what God ordained. Do not let your history become your identity. Do not let your pain rename you. Do not let your trauma prophesy over your future. Deliverance was never meant to embarrass you, and transformation today is meant to free you. You are not who you were. You are who God says you are today. Number three, come on now. Women of the Spirit carry holy courage. Let's go to Esther chapter 4, 14 through 16. We're just taking little pieces. I want you to go back and I want you to read these stories in their entirety because you got to get the word in you. Esther 4, beginning in verse 14. It says, "For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place." Oh, that'll preach in five different ways, but I'm staying on point today. "But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Man, we quote that a lot. And you know what this verse is in context? It means your life is on the line for such a time as this. "Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.'" Esther had a choice. Now Mordecai was giving her a choice. I mean, it wasn't a great choice, but still she had a choice. Remain comfortable or step into calling. Stay silent or risk everything for purpose. There comes a moment where purpose becomes greater than fear. Some of you have spent years shrinking back, playing small and hiding your voice, suppressing your calling, minimizing your gift, silencing your convictions because you were afraid of how people might respond. But I'm here to tell you today that the Holy Spirit is calling you out of hiding. He has need of you in this region. This region needs to see women of fire, women of the Spirit, women of courage that'll step out of their moments into someone else's moment and bring life and the gospel of the kingdom. Fear says protect yourself, but the Spirit says present yourself today. Esther understood something powerful. If God positioned her there, then God would sustain her there. And some of you need to hear that today. I know I do, and I'm not a woman, but it's all good. If God called you, he will keep you. If God anointed you, he will sustain you. If God opened the door, you don't have to live intimidated. Man, I go to Asia and there's like just across now three or four nations now that I've been, there's a spirit of intimidation on the church there. And now I'm just getting bolder, and I imagine myself walking in with a hammer because we got to break that thing off. And it's not just there, man. It's in the Church of America. Look, it's on individuals, and it's on people and people groups. When we come into a space where we feel intimidated by the moment, you know that that's not Holy Spirit. And it takes just a mustard seed of faith to break out of that chain of dominion. And actually, if you look around your feet, that chain was broken 2,000 years ago. It's just that the enemy is coming up to you and saying, are you really free from that? Why do you still feel that way? What's that fear there? If you are really in Christ, if Jesus really loved you, you wouldn't have those feelings. And Jesus is just saying, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest, but not just rest. I will give you a new identity. I will declare that all things are new. I will declare that my mercies are new for you every morning, and my grace is sufficient. And I've got plans and plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, plans for a future, plans for a hope. He's got purpose for you on the other side of your fear, on the other side of your intimidation, whatever is holding you back. I'm telling you right now, look down at your feet. Those chains are broken. They're not holding you anymore. You've been brought into an illusion of entrapment, but the Holy Spirit has set you free. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty. There's freedom. Come on, I know you will. Men of God, we need your strength too. We need your leadership. We need your courage. But we also need men secure enough in God to recognize and honor the voice of God in women. A strong woman is not a threat to a secure man of God. Number four. I like this one too. Women of the Spirit, birth revival. Yes. There is a fire being released on the earth right now. It's time to catch up to what God is doing. John chapter 4. I'm going to read a long story here. It's so good though. And it's so hard for me not to stop and give commentary because the Word of God is so rich. But let's read through this story. Now when Jesus, starting with verse 1, John chapter 4, verse 1. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John. I love that. Spirit of competition, spirit of comparison. Like we think, oh, it's the Church of America. It's so bad. No, it hasn't been happening for 2,000 years. It's a human problem. Number 2, or verse 2, not number 2. Although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples. He left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one now you have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the town and were coming to him. The woman at the well came empty, but she left overflowing. The woman came to the well carrying shame. She came isolated, rejected, avoiding people. She was the only one. She came thirsty for something natural while her soul was dying spiritually. But then Jesus had an appointment with her. Religion avoided her. Culture labeled her. People talked about her, but Jesus saw revival inside her. One encounter with Jesus changed an entire city. And it was Jesus encountering the woman. And then through the woman, she became the testimony of Jesus that became the spirit of prophecy in a city. And they left what they were doing to come out of their comfort zone, come out of their labors, come out of all of the stuff they were doing in the day, because they wanted to meet the one who so clearly transformed this woman. May it be so with you. She came hiding from people, but she left preaching to them. She came broken, she left burning. Then what happened? Just like we said, the people left their moment, their homes, their workplaces. Whatever was important before no longer took precedence. They went out of the town and they came running to Jesus. You know, revival often begins in overlooked people. I could give you a little revival history now, but maybe another time. The people religion dismisses are often the very people that God chooses. If you knew me 25 years ago, man, you'd be like, you'd have no idea. How old am I? Okay, 30 years ago. I was kind of getting it together a little bit at 25 years ago. But man, but even 26 years ago, well, we've been married 26 years. So if you knew me 40 years ago, you'd have no idea how God could do this. But revival often begins in overlooked people. Revival broke out in the upper room of the library in my high school because we gathered to pray for a friend who broke his neck and was having emergency surgery, and every person that walked into that room didn't walk out, and it spread like wildfire. Not through a speaker, not through some charismatic leader. It was through a couple high school kids who started praying at 7 and 7:30. And the Spirit fell in the upper room again, in a place that didn't believe it. The people religion dismisses are often the very people God chooses. One woman on fire can change an entire household. One mother filled with the Holy Ghost can transform generations. One grandmother praying in the Spirit can shift an entire bloodline. And one surrendered daughter can become the spark of revival in a city. Do not underestimate the spiritual power of a praying woman. And some of you are alive today. You are alive today. You are in this room today because a woman prayed for you. Some of you are saved today because a woman refused to stop interceding. Some of you made it through hell on earth because a mother kept calling your name before God. And I'm standing here today because a mother prayed for me. In Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18, it's quoting Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Not just your sons and the pastors, the sons and the celebrity preachers, and their sons and the people with platforms. No, the sons and the daughters will prophesy. Do not muzzle what God has meant to release. It's not an hour for passive Christianity. It's not an hour for powerless religion. This prophecy is fulfilled in this room today. And this is the hour for sons and daughters to prophesy. The Spirit is still being poured out. God is still filling people. He is still healing people. He is still delivering people. God is still restoring families. He is still calling women. God is still raising up mothers. And God is still awakening daughters. And He is still baptizing people in Holy Ghost fire today. The enemy tried to silence women because he knew what would happen if they ever discovered who they are in Jesus. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt today who you are in Christ? Because I hear the Spirit saying, daughters are rising again. Women of prayer are rising again. Women of purity are rising again. Women of discernment are rising again. Women full of boldness are rising again. Women full of the Holy Ghost fire are rising again. And the men, they're rising too. Men who pray, men who lead with humility, men who protect purity, men who love the presence of God, and men who honor what heavens are honoring now in this hour today. So I believe the Holy Spirit is calling to us today. I know it's Mother's Day. But my heart was burning with this message. I was sitting in a room in Thailand. I said, I got to release this thing. Not just to our people, but through you. Not just to women, but through you. Through you, when you emerge from this place, will you be women of the Spirit, women of fire, women of boldness and courage? Women who understand you have the moments where you feel the constraint of your bloodline or your history, but you know that in reality, it no longer chains you. You are no longer bound by that thing. And so if you're weary today, I'm going to pray for you. If you're broken today, I'm going to pray for you. If you're just hungry for more of God today, I'm going to pray for you. I want to call the ministry team up. But first, I'm going to pray a prayer of impartation, I guess, is what you want to call it. And first, if you're a mother and you're carrying burdens, I just want you to stand where you are. If you're battling shame, I want you to stand where you are. If you're struggling with your identity in Jesus, I want you to stand where you are. Men, if you need spiritual awakening, I want you to stand where you are. If you feel forgotten, stand where you are. If you're desperate for fresh fire, stand where you are. We have a team on my right as well. They're coming around. Oh, okay, good. I see. Come on down, Winnie. Okay. posture yourselves to receive right where you are. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. And first, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus like this, would you give him your yes? Would you lean in and truly surrender? He is so for you. He has a plan for you. But the plan unfurls on the other side of surrender. And surrender comes before you fully understand what you're about to step into. Sorry, not sorry. Would you give him your yes today? I'm not even gonna pray that prayer with you. Just, yes, Jesus, forgive me my sin. I give you my heart. Would you treat my heart like your throne and just sit upon my heart and reveal your love and your glory? I'm gonna follow you, Jesus. We're gonna follow you, Jesus, in this house, God. We're gonna serve you and your purpose in this region. So, Father, you see each one who's had the courage to stand. Would you heal every wounded heart? Would you heal every broken place? Would you heal every weary mother? Heal every grieving woman? Heal every person carrying silent pain here this morning? Holy Spirit, come. Release your oil right now. That oil that burns for the long term, not just a momentary emotional experience, God, but this catalyst for glory to glory transformation. Release your oil from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet right now, tangible in your spirit. Some people here have carried wounds for years while they were pretending to be fine. Holy Spirit right now is healing hidden places in you. He's healing rejection. He was right there with you. He's healing abandonment. He was right there with you. He's healing disappointment. He's standing right here with you. He's healing trauma and insecurity and fear. And so I speak over you right now. I prophesy over you right now. You are not forgotten. You are not overlooked. You are not disqualified. You are not too broken, and you are not too late. Today, the Lord says, you are chosen, you are called, you are seen, and you are loved by him. And the Spirit of God is breaking shame off people right here, right now. You are not defined by your past. You are not defined by failure. You are not defined by what was done to you. Your identity is today in this moment and for all days to come is rooted in Christ Jesus. Now lift your hands before the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.